You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. What? New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
Hello, hello.
Well, one thing we haven't done in a while is actually read a review. So this review is from Aaron Morrow, who is the pastor of River City Church. Well, that's the name of the review, five stars, and this is what he said. Daniel, Ed, and Todd know what they're talking about, and the 15-minute format is a perfect length of time for learning the basics of church planting. This is definitely the podcast out there when it comes to church planting and multi-site, which is why I've listened to nearly all of the 200-plus episodes so far. Highly recommended.
Boom.
Well, Aaron, shoot me because it's Aaron Morrow, right? Arrow.
She's I like what you did there. And you said, shoot me.
Yes. Oh, but so shoot me an email or daniel@newchurches.com or hit me up on Twitter, shoot me a DM and we'll send you some swag. Thanks for leaving a review. And if you haven't left a review for us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please do so, because we read every single one of them and it does help us get better.
And you could get swag.
And you get swag. Well, today we have a question from Stephanie McGraw, so let's listen in.
Hey, Daniel, Ed, and Todd. This is Stephanie McGraw here. I work as the leadership development assistant at a large multi-site church here in the Metro Detroit area, and we are so blessed to have a plethora of resources as well as an effective leadership pipeline in place. However, I'm well aware that most churches are not mega churches and are not as resourced as we are, thus making developing a leadership pipeline somewhat difficult. My question to you is, how would a smaller church that does not have many leaders in place even begin the process of curating a discipleship pathway? You can't necessarily bring up leaders out of thin air, so where would you begin if leaders, money, and resources are scarce? I appreciate all you guys do. Thanks.
I love this question because sometimes...
Not as much as me. I love it more, Daniel.
Yes. Okay. Why do you love the question, Todd?
Well, because it starts with the number one most valuable resource that you have at your disposal to lead and develop other people. You're a onesie. Yourself.
Mm.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, we've talked about on the podcast before... In leadership development, you have dumping, delegating, developing, but those break down from bottom to top. If you're looking at the worst type of development or the worst interaction in a culture, it's command. Hmm. Then you move to tell, then you move to teach, then to train, and then, you know, model and coach. And the greatest thing that you have at your disposal is modeling what multiplying yourself looks like to the people you're leading, and coaching them up to do the same thing with other people.
But the higher you go up there, the more time it takes.
But the more effective it is as well.
Yeah.
Because you can dump on people for so long and then they're not going to come. You can delegate to so many people, but you're not developing them. So it's just continuing to keep up. You can only develop a few people at a time. But instead of addition, you're moving to multiplication.
Yeah. Yeah. So where do you think, I mean, I love that. And in the show notes, we'll actually put a 90-second leadership video that Todd did on that concept. So you can see the visual for what he just shared there. It's a part of our leadership pipeline coaching process that I don't know how many people have we brought through now?
Over 2,800.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that we do just really help churches of all sizes develop a leadership pipeline. But I love the question because it's like, okay, how does a smaller church that doesn't have many leaders in place, you know, with where leaders, money, and resources are scarce, how do they just go about developing a pipeline and a pathway?
Right. And again, I mean, you know, starting with yourself, I think is the easiest way to do that. If you're in a smaller church, what you do is going to be even more visible as a church leader, and the greater effect that you can have in the shorter amount of time. I mean, It's crazy math. You know, compounding interest is an amazing thing. The power of compounding interest is absolutely incredible. And that holds true with leaders as well. If you're not placing people, if you're practicing leadership development and not leadership placement, you don't have to have tons of resources.
Because your influence as the pastor, as the leader, is so stark because, I mean, I love it. You know, you got to start with yourself. So if you start with yourself and how you spend your time, that's going to set the culture for leadership development. So, I mean, it's one of those things, right? The smaller a church is, the more people expect that the pastor is their shepherd, their personal pastor that does home visits and hospital visits and you know, just that whole shepherd type of mentality. But if you, and it's not to say that there's anything wrong with that, and we're not saying, hey, if that's your model, you shouldn't be like that in order to be faithful to the scriptures. No, we're not saying that. You do need to shepherd them, but if you want to multiply yourself, you need to spend less time doing that. We're not saying don't do it, say less time doing that and more time when you're doing it, bring someone else along with you so you can model and coach it with them. When you are connecting and discipling your leaders, what does it look like for you to bring someone else along so that when people see the way that you spend your time, it's like, oh, okay, he's actually here not just to serve us as the shepherd, but he's here to equip us to go and shepherd.
I'll tell you what it looks like. Exclusivity. If no one is accusing you of being exclusive, then you're probably not developing someone.
Man, that's hard though.
It is. That's it is hard, but think about it. If you're spending this extra time with one or two guys and they're going with you to the places you go, somebody in the church is going to say, oh, that's his, you know, oh, I guess he's his best friend or he's spending all this time here. You know, it's the star student favorites. You're playing favorites. The difference is over the course of time, if over 3 years, let's say you do that with, you know, two different people every 6 months or even every year, that becomes something that is established. And if those people do that, man, you can quickly scale that. And we know that everybody we pour into, even if we pour into them for a year, is not going to go and do likewise. But enough will, that the multiplication will happen. And if you do it enough and go through some of that pain and painful times of people accusing you of being exclusive, again, over the course of time, you'll be able to point to, you know, all these other guys as well that are actually going and doing. And I think that goes away.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've said it since episode one, right? You got to spend time with leaders and the lost. Leaders and the lost. And I love that, Todd, because if someone doesn't accuse you of being exclusive, I love that, then you're probably not spending enough time developing leaders. Now, the one thing that I would add on to that is just the importance of intentionality, that when you are developing someone, when you are bringing someone else along, always remind them, hey, I'm doing this because I would love for you to do the same thing. Actually, I want to train you to do that so that they can actually not just be passive observers when you go to the hospital together or passive observers when you're at the local chamber of commerce networking. It's not just a you thing, but it's actually you are training them, growing them, developing them, and actually debriefing with them afterwards is such an important thing. But I do want to add on to that, though. I mean, you don't necessarily want to, for those that you are equipping, that you are leading, that you are developing, you don't want to spend hours and hours every single week for multiple years with the same person, right? You need to have a process where you are sending them out, where you are doing the I do, you watch, I do, you help, you do, I help, you do, I watch, and we talk after each of those. You do want to do that, but I really do want to I want to emphasize the fact that it's important that that is not your discipleship. So yes, you do need to equip and release other people, but you as the pastor need to be discipled and you need to disciple other people. And you need to have people that are keeping you accountable. You need to have people that you can, that you as a pastor are trusting and can be very accountable to and vulnerable to. So this is, you know, I mentioned this because I see two pictures, right? I see the one side where one pastor is with for 5, 10, 15 years, the same group of guys. And they're not, and then I see another pastor who they're not close to anyone because they're just, they're developing people and they're sending them off. They're developing people and they're sending them off. And what I'm saying is you can't be on either extremes. You need to have people that you can trust, that you can grow, that you can develop, that you can be accountable to, but you also need to be multiplying yourself.
Right. I mean, you know, it is the old adage, everybody, every Paul needs a Barnabas and a Timothy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's okay. And in fact, it's healthier probably. If you have those, the people that are your Barnabas, the people that aren't terribly impressed with you sometimes and will be able to tell you.
Man, you need that.
You've got to have
that. Too often we don't have that.
And, you know, that trust is built over the course of time, and that especially the higher you go in leadership, the more vulnerable you are to not having that person around. So that person is probably, or those people, if you're lucky, are going to be those that are there for the long haul. What we're talking about with the Timothy is, yeah, I'm always going to have a special affinity for Timothy, but I want lots of Timothys. I want to invest in a lot of people and send a lot of people off. And in order to do that, it's best if I have an intentional process. If I don't have an intentional process, that's okay. I just need to be intentional with the time that we're having and be mindful, as you said, of having those conversations and breaking down what just happened. What just happened on that hospital visit as we drive, you know, back to where we're going.
Yeah.
And taking advantage of every opportunity while you're, it's almost like your children, you know, when you're on the road, when you're eating, you know, let's process all these things.
Yeah. And don't underestimate the importance of coaching skills. One of the most beneficial things that I did as a young pastor was learn how to coach. Not the same thing as counseling, not the same thing as mentoring, but the whole art of asking questions. And there are a ton of resources out there. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to go get certified with the International Coaching Federation or anything like that, but just learn the art of coaching, because that is often, that is actually a better way to disciple and mentor than being the whole, I'm Yoda, you're my Luke Skywalker, and I'll just dump all my... Oh, that was good. So be sure to take a look at that. Dude, you got to do more of that. Why don't you close us out with Yoda? That was so good.
I don't think I can.
Fine. Well, you got to pull it out one of these future episodes.
I will. Maybe in the next episode, I'll come back for a second.
Awesome. Well, if you haven't subscribed yet, be sure to
hear Ed
do
Yoda.
Ed is Yoda. Especially with his beard.
Goat-like beard.
His goat-like beard, yes. Well, we'll catch you next time.